Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and we're going to be talking about an effort to help feed people here in the Copper Country. And to joining me to do that is Renee Johnson from Philadelphia University. Renee, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick.
Now, you have something very special coming up. I'm glad we are able to dedicate this segment to it because, you know when we think about hunger, you know, a lot of people, images of other countries or very poor neighborhoods come into mind, and we think, well, there's enough effort going around here in the Copper Country. Certainly, we've got the kindness and the people that it wouldn't be a very big problem here, but unfortunately, it is.
It is, and in fact, it was 2 years ago when we first held this event at Finlandia's campus. A Feeding America semi-truck comes, and they unload the fresh produce, mostly some other foods that they've rescued from farmers and grocery stores, and we made it available to people. But I was just talking with a colleague this weekend, and he was remembering 2 years ago coming out of his office door and being shocked, taken aback at the line of people that had come half an hour, 45 minutes early to line up because they really desperately needed this box of food. And he grew up in the Copper Country. And he said, this has left an impression on me that's permanent. I didn't know that so many people had such desperate kind of situations with feeding their families.
The event that we're referencing is Feeding America, the Mobile Food Pantry. It's going to take place October 20th, starting at 5 p.m. That's a Tuesday. And it's takes place at Old Main on Finlandia University's campus. Renee, what's the underlying purpose for this event?
Well, Feeding America is an organization that started in 1979, and they just began as sort of a clearinghouse for food donations because we had a surplus of food that would otherwise go to waste, go to the landfill. Food that could no longer be sold in grocery stores. For farmers, it might be food that is slightly imperfect, so it can't go to market. Maybe the beans are too long, or they're broken a little bit, or something like that. So they rescue this food that would otherwise just go into the landfill. And it used to be called Second Harvest. So it was known as that, and then eventually they changed the name to Feeding America to demonstrate what their purpose is, their mission. So their mission is twofold: to rescue this food that would otherwise go into the landfill, and secondly, to feed America, understanding that there are families who have income, they have jobs, but it's not quite enough to feed their family and feed them well in 1 month's time from paycheck to paycheck. And they also understand that there are families who rely on our public services, food stamps and the WIC programs and all that, but still cannot quite meet their needs in a month's time. So they partner then with, over 200, it's a network of 200 food banks across the whole country, and it's the nation's largest hunger relief organization that we have. And so they're all over the country, and they do partner with our Western Upper Peninsula Food Bank here. And in that partnership, they come into areas. For us, it was only here 2 years ago. Maybe we can make this an annual thing, I'm hoping. But they just offer food for free. Nobody has to qualify. There's no income qualification. You just show up. You put your name, your address, the number of people in your household on a list so that the Feeding America can count how many they're serving. And you get 50 pounds of fresh food that otherwise would go in the landfill.
Mm. Now, the people that would come out, one thing I have noticed in both just simply getting through life and being here, you don't have to be destitute to be hungry.
No.
And a lot of our government programs, which a lot of people say, oh, well, if they're having trouble getting food, just go get food stamps or go to the Salvation Army and get food. That doesn't, those programs are there, but oftentimes they're hard to get, especially on a short term.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, when we think of being hungry, you think of somebody who's doesn't have a job and doesn't have any amount of income at all. For a lot of people who are hungry, they've got money coming in. It just all has to go out because once you start adding in what it costs just to live, or when other bills creep up, whether they're medical or their utility, things that hit you, and you find out, You can keep your lights on, or you can feed your children. So yeah. These things do hit, you know, a lot of people. Maybe not long term, but definitely short term. Most of us, I think, go through a period or a time where we could have used a little bit of help.
Exactly, and that's why for Feeding America, you know, they actually call this not necessarily hunger that they're addressing, but rather food insecurity. It's recognizing that people don't necessarily live with this guarantee that they're going to have food on the table every day. And so some of us probably are aware of this, but Baraga County has the third highest rate of food insecurity in the state of Michigan, which means that about 18% of the households in Baraga County live with food insecurity. Now, Houghton County is not that far behind, 16.9%, and I'm getting this information off of Feeding America's website, because they also do research on hunger in the states as part of their mission. But 16.9% of households in Houghton County live with food insecurity. Now, that means that you have food in your cupboard for the most part, but if, like you say, these surprises come up, medical bills, or an exceedingly high electrical bill that we're all talking about these days, it means that you may not be able to put full three meals on the table every day. And so Keweenaw County, 16.1% of the households in Keweenaw County live with food insecurity. Hmm.
Now, how does that compare to the average throughout the rest of the state? You said these are some of the highest ones. And, you know,
On their website, they said that the state average is 16.4. So that would put Keweenaw County slightly below at 16.1%. Houghton County slightly above at 16.9. But Baraga at 18.2 is quite a bit more. The highest rate in the state is 20.9%, and that's, of course, Wayne County.
Does this happen all over on the same day, or is this something that, you know, through Finlandia University and Feeding America, you have to kind of just get together and put it on?
Right. I'm not quite sure how many trucks they have. It's a big semi. But no, it doesn't happen like on one day of the year across the nation. It's going on continuously. And so, last time it was also here in October, and so it'd be nicer if it was just a little bit warmer when they come. I'm afraid for rain next week, which would complicate logistics, but it's going to be mostly fresh produce. And so last time it was watermelons, cabbages, potatoes, onions, carrots, tomatoes, things like that. So it's not only that they're getting food, but they're getting healthy, fresh food, right? And about 50 pounds per person. So they're coming with a truckload that is 15,000 pounds of food. Hmm. And if I do the math correctly, that's about 300 households at 50 pounds per household. About 300 households can be served in our area.
Hmm. You mentioned a couple of years ago you had some food that was left over. What if the opposite happens and there's still 100 people in line?
Yes. Well, I talked with our contact at Feeding America, and he said, yes, that has happened. And unfortunately, you simply need to turn people away.
So you definitely do want to get there early, as you mentioned.
Right. Yes. And, people can come earlier and line up, and then we will have some student volunteers who will be directing the line, and the ones who are registering the participants will know when we reach 300 households, because we'll have the registration list. And then I'll just be able to know ahead of time, so people, are, if they're in line, I'll just be able to say, I'm sorry, but it appears that perhaps, and I wouldn't go exactly at 300, because it's about 50 pounds of food. We're told you get one cabbage, you get this bag of potatoes, or one watermelon. We're told what to give everybody. And so, they try very carefully to make sure that everybody gets the same amount, and that the whole truck gets distributed.
Hmm. All right. So what you get is already sort of predetermined. You don't shop with a container.
And
once that container's full.
Yeah. And if you somehow
get two watermelons, you might be there.
No. Everybody gets the same thing. And if you somehow I'm allergic to tomatoes, well, then you just don't take the tomatoes, but you don't get to take a substitute.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then another thing that I think is so interesting about Feeding America is what I've learned about our food waste. in the country.
Yeah, when you said rescued food, I don't think I've ever heard that term before, and I marked it down because I wanted to ask you about it.
Well, you know, like I said, sometimes farmers have standards that their produce has to comply with in order to be marketable, right? And not everything. If you've ever grown anything, sometimes you get some really crummy-looking carrots, right? They're not the perfect straight mm-hmm. long carrot. So the grocers are not going to be able to sell those as easily. And so you have all this food and you know, if you don't feed it to animals, it could be fed to humans, or it can go in the waste stream. And so, but we're not very efficient in our country, because about 70 billion tons of food in our country goes to waste.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're in the need of the food, you know, once you cook a carrot, it looks the same.
That's pretty much true, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, once you mash the potato, it kind of looks exactly. just like all the rest of the potato. Exactly. So, yeah, well, these potatoes just weren't big enough to go to market. Well, yeah, they're fine for me now. And you don't make those decisions lightly when food is what you need. You know, right. you're willing to... You know, take the perfectly good food that may not look great on a store shelf or at the produce market, but looks fine, especially when, you know, you'd rather see, you know, that food in front of your children rather than not having anything at all.
Right. And don't get me wrong, the food is not going to look horrible. Last time we did this, I could hardly tell that there was anything different about the cabbages or the watermelons or the potatoes or anything compared to what I might find at any grocer. Maybe the potatoes and the onions and the tomatoes were a little closer to the end of their shelf life because you kind of had to use them up quickly. But they looked fine to me, and I don't understand the system. I just know that Feeding America has recognized that either when it's at the grocery store or when it's coming out of the farmer's field, somehow it's rejected for sale, and then they rescue it, and they make sure people get it. And they're very good at that, but still they're not rescuing a ton of it because they rescue only about 2.2 billion pounds. And so it's not that great of a dent, but it's a dent.
Yeah, so it's at least something. I still can't get over that number of amount of wasted food. And it'd be, you know, revolutionary if there was a way to make sure that, you know, was available to the public. So at least there's something like this. Now, unfortunately, it sounds like a very short-term solution to people's problems.
It is. It's a gap filler. It's a gap filler. And so, you know, again, though, you have a choice. You do something or you do nothing. And recognizing that there is food insecurity across our country, that we have it here in the Copper Country, recognizing that situation, you decide to do something. And one of those things you can do in partnership with the Western Upper Peninsula Food Bank is you can offer this stream of food where you don't have to qualify, you know, you don't have to demonstrate any income qualifications to receive the food. And it's once a year, it's maybe not as often as people could probably benefit from it, but it's doing something. You know, perhaps, if you went to the website, you might say, boy, I need to try to address how wasteful our food system is. And you can try to be an advocate for that somehow, addressing the needs in the community. We do, you know, we have our services available, but maybe we do need more. I don't know. I don't work in those streams, so I'm not very well informed, but maybe we do need more ways of serving people and their food insecurity here.
Well, besides Finlandia University and, of course, Feeding America, who's helping to make this happen? You mentioned volunteers.
Right. Well, certainly I want to, you know, recognize the Western Upper Peninsula Food Bank, because without that partnership, you know, it wouldn't really be possible. And then we have some folks in the community who are involved with agencies that are helping out to get the word through churches, through agencies that deal with homelessness, other kinds of services for people that are on the fringe. And the volunteers at the event itself are mostly going to be Finlandia students. So I've you know, lined up a crew of people to help set up tables. They're going to be carrying, it's going to be heavy. It's 50 pounds of food that people receive. So they'll carry the heavy food to the cars for individuals. So it's going to be a large event.
What's the food carried in?
Boxes. And so I have collected boxes from our bookstore and from our dining services. But we have, in the flyers that are around town, we have encouraged people to bring their own containers. A good container is just a laundry basket. They're sturdy, they're big, and you can easily carry 50 pounds of food in a laundry basket. You don't have to worry about the bottom blowing out like with a cardboard box. So people can bring boxes, they can bring several bags if that's what they have, laundry baskets, anything that they can bring to carry their stuff home in would be really helpful.
Yeah, because you only have so many boxes.
We only have so many, right.
Yeah. Right. Now, why would Findlay India want to take part of this? I mean, your primary job is to educate.
Sure.
So why take part in a program like this, right on your campus?
That's a good question. Well, part of our identity, our mission identity of the institution is what we call whole student learning, human learning, in fact, that we are about educating the whole human. And so it's not just about the academic pursuits at the university. It's not even about simply career pursuits, but it's really about giving our students opportunities to examine who they are as a human being. And for us, that really means trying to encourage them to be connected with the world in wider ways, to be people who are interested in making a contribution to making the world a better place. And so for us to have a large number of our students involved in this event is one opportunity that we give them to become more greatly aware of food insecurity in the area, to become more aware of organizations like Feeding America, and then simply to be, that they can give of their time and it can be of use to somebody else. And that's development of their human capacity.
I'm talking right now with Renee Johnson from Findlay India University. Coming up is the Feeding America Mobile Food Pantry. It's going to take place on Findlay India's campus right at Old Main on October 20th at 5 p.m. That's coming up on a Tuesday. Renee, what would you say to people that may be listening and they should come, but
yes.
Perhaps pride, a little bit of reservation from standing on what they may perceive as a welfare line, which is not what it is, but worrying about coming out and being looked down upon because they're standing in line to get free food. What would you say to encourage those people to get past that and come out?
First of all, I would say I really do understand that can be a very real difficulty for people. And so those feelings are very real. I acknowledge them. But at the same time, I would just say that, this is not an issue of pride. It's simply an issue of this is what community does. And whatever part you have in the community, at this moment on Tuesday, if it happens to be somebody who is going to be receiving assistance from community partners that are offering assistance, so be it. You can turn around the next day or the week after, and you can be the one that offers assistance in other ways. And people do that all the time. So because on that day, on Tuesday afternoon, you happen to be the one receiving, that doesn't mean that on other occasions you're not the one giving assistance. And that's what we see when people show up in line. That at that particular moment, they're receivers. And we know that at other moments, they're givers.
Hmm. Again, Tuesday, October 20th at 5 p.m. in Findlay India campus, the Feeding America Mobile Food Pantry. How are you trying to help get the word out besides doing this interview? I guess what I'll say is, how do you want other people to help you get the word out? What can we do?
I think the word is somehow out because I've received already several phone calls about, where is it exactly? What do I have to bring a box? How does it work? Do I have to qualify? Can I come from my mother, even though she sits in the car because she can't get there? We will have some few chairs available for people who have a hard time standing, but we're not going to really be able to accommodate much. We're getting the word out a lot by word of mouth. That's what you do in community, right? And so I'm very appreciative of the radio opportunities. Again, we have this, I'm speaking this weekend at Coalition for Homelessness, Thursday I'm, Coalition for Homelessness group on Thursday. And so I'm trying to just meet with groups that work with people who do live with food insecurity.
If somebody does have questions or they want more information, is there a place that they can go and find it?
Yeah, the best place is to, it is on our website for the university, or they can simply call my office phone, which is 906-487-7558.
Renee Johnson, thank you so much for coming on the program.
You're welcome.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.